I like to think of the deaconess vocation as driven by two things, the love of Christ and the needs of our neighbor.
Dr. James Buescher, Director of Deaconess Studies at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the vocation of deaconess.
First, the deaconess is moved by the love of Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve. Yet I think we can also see the profound needs around us, broken families, loneliness, despair. Deaconesses help the church to become a true family that manifests the love of Christ in our love for one another, and especially for those in need.
If you've ever considered the vocation of deaconess, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, invites you to prayerfully consider October 10th through the 12th. For more information, call 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu.
Well, at the beginning of the summer, I think it was, the big television event was the Bible, the miniseries. Seems like a long time ago, doesn't it? Well, it wasn't. And it was very successful, unexpectedly successful. So it's not a surprise that Hollywood has a couple big projects in the pipeline, not only for television, but also for the big screen, that either connect directly to the Bible or simply the attempt on Hollywood to retell, to dramatize Bible stories. Why is this? Is this a good thing or a bad thing for Orthodox Christianity? Joining us to talk about Hollywood and religion on this Wednesday afternoon, Pastor Ted Giese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. He's instructor of an online course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thanks, Todd.
Very often Christians try in their hand at movie making, telling the stories of the Bible, as Hollywood seems to be interested in doing now, with the possible exception, really the notable exception of The Passion of the Christ, which was a tremendous movie and very successful, by the way. Can we expect Hollywood to tell these Bible stories better than the kind of average Christian production company, well-meaning but usually ending up pretty sappy?
They definitely have a better budget to do it. So sometimes some of the smaller companies that do specifically Christian filmmaking, they just don't have the budget to pull off some things that need to get pulled off. So in that way, it might work out. When it comes to the content of the story, though, that really depends on the writers. If the writers aren't really well versed in what Scripture is actually about, then you're going to have problems. Or if they have particular axes to grind, then things might get a little strange.
How do you explain the recent interest and what is at least reported in the Christian Science Monitor story, Hollywood Next Big Thing Religion, the future interest of Hollywood in Bible stories?
I think that was, like, first off, that was an interesting article in the Christian Science Monitor, and one of the things that was mentioned in there's a lady named Barbara Nicolosi Harrington, and she said that the reason Hollywood is going kind of back to the Bible in some instances is that they're experiencing this overall loss of storytelling, the storytelling craft, and that it's affecting the culture. And I think that right now what you see is a lot of sequels going on. And like this summer, one of the movies that I thought about maybe doing a review on was Planes, but I realized that I haven't seen Cars 2 or Cars, and Planes is kind of just a derivative thing of those. And there's so many sequels and so few original ideas that I think they're starting to scramble and look around for something more concrete. And the other thing that that it said was that they have a couple things that they like in biblical movies is that they've got like a built-in audience, that the stakes are high, and that, you know, there's lots of drama. So they can kind of take that and run with it. And maybe that's kind of what's going on right now. I think that they are looking at, broadening their horizon. Of course, Hollywood has always had movies with Christian themes in it, going back to King of Kings or the Ten Commandments. And even though it's not a biblical-based movie, they often call it like sword and sandals kind of style movies. That there was the movie Ben-Hur as well, which you're not going to find Ben-Hur in the Bible anywhere, that's for sure.
What are your thoughts here? Because there's kind of, broadly speaking, two camps on this. People who cringe when they hear Hollywood is about to make a movie based upon a Bible story, and people who say, oh, this can't be a bad thing. I mean, finally we're getting our due as Christians. Where do you stand on that?
Again, that is an interesting thing because I have that same reaction. Like sometimes I hear, for instance, that, Ridley Scott is going to produce Exodus. And I think, wow, Ridley Scott, I love Blade Runner. I'm really, a fan of his movie making. And then I think, I wonder what he's going to do with Exodus. Like, is he actually just going to go and do a straight-up representation of Exodus as you would find it from Scripture? Or is it going to be, some sort of higher critical influenced film, right? Like, as a Lutheran watching it, I have particular anticipations, things I would like to see. I would like them to take the actual words of Scripture seriously and to present that. But I don't know. Like, it always remains to be seen whether or not something is going to be really good or not. When The Passion of the Christ came out, they even had special screenings in advance for, church leaders, people involved in, pastors and youth workers and things like that, because they wanted those people on board. And I remember going to one of those screenings and sitting down in it and having no clue as to whether what I was about to watch was going to be good or bad. Like, I did not know. I'd seen a couple trailers, and I thought, well, maybe it could be good, but I had no idea if it was going to be good or bad. And I mean, The Passion of the Christ has some, warts and wrinkles in it as well, but overall, it was surprisingly good, comparatively speaking. We just don't know in advance where exactly things are going with this, except maybe now with the Internet, you can find out things faster, even in pre-production, maybe what direction something might take.
Here's one of my concerns, and I wonder what your thoughts are on it. That is, you can tell the story of the Exodus, or I understand that Russell Crowe has been signed to play Noah in a depiction of the flood story from the Bible. You can take these stories out of, kind of out of their context and tell them as epic stories. But that's not why they're in the Bible. What are your thoughts there?
I completely agree. And actually, The Passion of the Christ is, maybe not The Passion of the Christ, but like there's been a lot of movies with Jesus in it, like literally movies about Jesus. And a lot of them end with the crucifixion, but they don't really have much after that point, right? So The Passion of the Christ was really interesting because they actually showed Jesus being resurrected from the dead. Well, they showed him in his resurrected state leaving the tomb. And that movie really got people really riled up. And the reason why I'm thinking about this is because, to do a movie about Jesus and not have the resurrection is taking it out of the context of Scripture. And people got really riled up over The Passion of the Christ. If Mel Gibson hadn't had the derailment that he had in his life, and if he was able to go and make a sequel to The Passion of the Christ, I think that it would have been very interesting to see the ascension of the Christ. And I guarantee you that would have drove more people crazy than The Passion of the Christ did, because then you're dealing with a resurrected Jesus who is a central character in the rest of the film, which is, the 50 days, let's say, after the resurrection, 40 days to the ascension and then another 10 days to the day of Pentecost, and you have the end of the movie be the day of Pentecost. Holy crow, you would have a resurrected Jesus eating fish with Peter. You would have the reinstatement of Peter. You would have, earlier stuff with Thomas on the day of resurrection, or the week after with Thomas, but the day, stuff on the day of resurrection. You'd have all of that fabulous stuff. And I think that the world's okay with the idea of, here's this guy who goes through all this stuff, and then he dies. And we're going to leave it up to you to decide whether or not he actually was risen from the dead. I don't think the world's as keen on the resurrected Jesus. And I think a lot of times you get these movies where they want to suck the supernatural and the anything spiritual out of them and just tell them as dramatic stories. And that's where you really run into danger when it comes to Scripture. If you tell the story without God in it, or maybe if it's like Martin Scorsese's Passion of the Christ, and in that you get a movie where Jesus is represented as somebody with, like, schizophrenia or something like that. Or even outside of Scripture, the story of Joan of Arc in the movie The Messenger, where Joan of Arc is then, in the end, revealed to be somebody who's just got a mental illness. And all of the voices that she's heard and all that kind of stuff was just mental illness. That's all it was. This is a very cynical, materialistic view of spirituality. And when you're watching a movie like that, it may be the worldview that you're dealing with, because the people making the movie may have not the slightest clue as to what Christians actually believe.
Pastor Ted Giese is our guest. We're talking about Hollywood and religion. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. And he's instructor of an online course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. You can find out more about this online course under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September is one in a series from Concordia Publishing House. This one's called Five Things You Can Do to Appreciate Science and Love the Bible, refuting the basic idea that Christianity and science are completely at odds with one another, but also being cautious about what science really is. You'll find out more about it in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September, Five Things You Can Do to Appreciate Science and Love the Bible. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org. It's on every page. Or call Concordia Publishing House and order the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. We'll be right back.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. If you designate your Thrivent Choice dollars to Issues Etc. online before October 31st, Thrivent will designate an additional $25 to Issues Etc. For more information on how you can designate funds to Lutheran Public Radio and give an additional $25 to LPR, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page at issuesetc.org.
Yeah, Oktoberfest. Not in Munich, but in Kewaunee, Illinois, at St. Paul's. Sunday, October 13th to the 15th. If you've never been, you really need to come. It's the best party on the block. And our guest this year is Pastor Todd Wilkin of Issues Etc. We have worship and music, a speaker, and then brats and beer and laughter and loads of fun. Call us at 309-852-2461. Leave your name and phone number, and we'll get back to you. Yeah, Oktoberfest.
Education and edification. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Imagine SteadfastLutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub. Your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm. So check us out, www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
Have you ever considered becoming a pastor or a deaconess? Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, invites you to prayerfully consider a weekend event where you attend classes, talk with students and faculty, and worship at Kramer Chapel. Prayerfully Consider is October 10th through the 12th on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary. For more information, call 1-800-481-2155 or send an email to admission@ctsfw.edu. Welcome back to Issues Etc. It's Wednesday afternoon, September the 11th. Pastor Ted Giese is our guest. We're talking about Hollywood and religion. Ted, it's clear from the story in the Christian Science Monitor that part of the impetus for putting all these Bible stories in the pipeline in Hollywood was the unexpected success of the Bible miniseries at the beginning of the summer. What was your evaluation of that miniseries, and is this just profit motive on Hollywood's part?
It might be a profit motive. The Bible, the miniseries, was one we had a chance to talk about that in an earlier interview, and I think that the Bible, the miniseries, is an interesting thing for a Christian to watch if you've got your Bible right next to you. And if you know that a particular story is about to unfold in the Bible, the miniseries, maybe stop, read that bit of scripture, and then watch what they're going to do with it. Or watch what they've done with it, and then stop and read your Bible, because they took a lot of creative license along the way, and they ended up getting a lot of things not right. It's just from a plain, simple reading of scripture. It did make a pile of money, though, so they are going to want to make more of this, like we were just saying. It leads back to just the creative license people can take. I know a lot of people probably really loved Touched by an Angel, which is a lot like Highway to Heaven. And one of the producers of the Bible, the miniseries, was Roma Downey, who was in Touched by an Angel. And Touched by an Angel is one of these things. It's a project that is all predicated on a single verse of scripture. So they built, like, I don't know, probably 7 or 8 or 10 years worth of stuff, stories based on one verse of scripture from chapter 13 of Hebrews. And that's, "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." Because the whole premise was you had, like, angels show up, but you didn't know they were angels. You were in on it if you were a viewer, but the people in the story didn't know that they were angels, and then they would do things to help people out. Or, you know, same with Highway to Heaven. They looked like drifters, and they were, you know, helping people out. It's just a single verse in Scripture, and they build all of this stuff, which means that they're way off in the area of speculation. Like, even if you go back to, like, Genesis chapter 18 and you look at Abraham, you know, like, there's more of a story there with the angels that are at the tent. And it's a little ambiguous as to what's all going on with that. But even there, like, when you start doing, like, a whole year's worth or a number of years' worth of TV episodes based on a small little tiny thing, you run into speculation. And that's what's going to happen. You know, there was this great line in the article, too, that said, the good news is there's going to be a lot more, you know, movies with Christian themes in it. The bad news is that a lot of it's going to be awful.
And speak a little bit about the profit motive, because you mentioned earlier that, you know, Hollywood knows that there's a built-in audience. Hollywood can read the demographics of the United States, where the kind of self-identified Christian hovers around 80%, a little bit better than 80% or so. And they know that that is a lot of money and a lot of pockets. Talk about that, if you would.
More so in the evangelical circles, you get these particular things going on. Like, for instance, you could go to a wrestling match, or you could go to Wrestlers for Jesus. Like, everything has to be somehow, like, everything, like pop music, you know, wrestling, novels, books, CDs, everything has to be somehow baptized into, you know, or have a Christian version of it for people to enjoy, right? And this is kind of like the Southern Baptist and evangelical world that they have all of this stuff. you know, they, up here in Canada, there was something called Christian, or was it Blessings Christian Market, which is like a little store where you could go buy all of this kind of thing. And I think that what you get now is you get Hollywood saying, well, you know, we could get in on that action. And the stuff that I find ultimately more interesting, though, is the stuff where you're watching just a regularly produced film, and suddenly you get these gems, these Christian, you know, gems in it. Or it's based on source material that's old enough, and the people making it are faithful enough to the original source, that the Christian elements just kind of pop and are there. I think when they sit down to say, we want to do this particularly Christian thing, that's often where, because we want to make some money off of Christians, that's usually where things kind of start getting a little weird. One movie that I remember seeing that had, like, you know, theoretically some Christian themes in it was a movie called Stigmata, which came out in, like, 1999. And the weirdest part about the movie Stigmata, you know, like, again, and this is something that the article focuses on, is the idea that Hollywood is attracted to the bizarre and the unusual in religion. And Stigmata is based on this idea of people who end up having the wounds of Christ themselves along the way, and the character has this. And then the big reveal at the end of the movie, and spoiling it for somebody who hasn't seen it, but I think it's been long enough, the big reveal at the end of the movie is that the Roman Catholic Church is trying to hide the truth from everybody. And the truth that they're hiding from everybody is the truth that's found in the Gospel of Thomas, which is this very secret thing that they've been clamping down on. Well, I was sitting in the movie theater watching this, and I thought to myself, I have a copy of the Gospel of Thomas. I bought it at a secondhand store. Like, this is not, if this is what Hollywood thinks is what's actually going on in the Christian world, then they're just so incredibly off the mark.
In the end, what are your thoughts here as someone who observes pop culture, who kind of understands what's going on when someone is telling a story on television, a dramatization of history, and whenever it's done, often suffers a little bit when it's adapted for the for film, when it's dramatized. Does the Bible, do the stories of the Bible lend themselves to dramatization?
Some stories do. There's a lot of drama to be had. Like, there are certain stories that have more dramatic content than other stories. Or they're told in ways that are still the ways we tell stories. Some of it's just there's so little there that you can't really you tell it. So, like, for instance, if you go into the book of Judges, in the book of Judges, you could make a really fine, excellent dramatization of the story of Samson from the book of Judges, because there's a lot to go with there. Like, you find out things about his personality and things about what he's thinking and some of his feelings and stuff along the way, and some of the other characters. There's stuff to work with there. But then take, for instance, another kind of interesting story, the story of Ehud, the left-handed man, who is risen up as a judge for Israel and defeats King Eglon. Like, that is, like, there's a lot of interesting details in that story, and it's very dramatic, but you do not know what he's thinking in his head. So if you're going to dramatize that, you're going to have to speculate on a lot of things as to what his thoughts are and how he's feeling in any moment. And that's the stuff that is the bread and butter of dramatization. So if you do have, and those are two examples from the book of Judges, there's lots of different spots where some people you have way more to work with in terms of historical biblical characters than other people.
Bottom line for you, is Hollywood's interest in telling the stories of the Bible on television, on film, is it a good thing or a bad thing?
I think that it's an interesting thing, and it's going to be either a good thing or a bad thing depending on every individual project. Where it's going to be a good thing is where it's they do it, and whether it's intentional or it's by accident or by, you know, divine providence, if they can do a project and they're faithful to Scripture, that'll be a good thing. When they do a project and they are completely off base, speculative, they've got an axe to grind, they've got problems with the church and they're trying to stick it to Christians or something like that, you know, maybe in an underhanded way while still trying to make money off of them, that's going to be a bad thing. And the other thing that's in all of these cases is, where is it pointing? Like, when you read Scripture itself, Scripture is always pointing to Jesus. It's always pointing to the cross. If they're making a movie and it doesn't do that, you know, that would be something to keep into consideration also, as to whether or not this is going to be a good thing or not. As Christians, maybe we're going to have to be on deck as all these movies roll out, because we're going to need to talk to our neighbors, our coworkers, people that we know, and we're going to have to be able to say, hey, did you notice this? Or, that was very strange that they did that. Or maybe we're going to have to say, you know, I've read that from Scripture, but in Scripture, it's really pointing forward to Jesus, and this is how it does it. I think that you just need to, as a consumer, be ready to be actively engaged in these things when they show up in popular culture. And we're not really going to be able to be silent as these things roll out. And they need to have viewer feedback as well.
Pastor Ted Giese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. Ted, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you.
When we come back, it's Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. on this Wednesday afternoon, September the 11th. We're going to talk on the other side about distracting arguments that are often made by atheists. Now, sometimes they intend to distract, but most of the time, I believe, they don't think that they're making an argument that is insubstantial. They think they're making a substantial argument. But what's really going on here in some of the arguments of some atheists is wishful thinking, how they wish the world were. And we'll respond to that in Hour 2 of Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
When you need a friend, you have a friend in Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, and friends among His people at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri. At Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, we offer Christ-centered word and sacrament ministry, inspirational liturgical worship services, and faithful preaching and teaching. Sunday worship services are at 9 a.m. Sunday school and Bible class are at 10:30. We also have an excellent Christian preschool. We invite you to join us. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, 2211 Tenbrook Road, Arnold, Missouri, 636-296-1292.
Does the theory of an old earth creation confess what the text of Scripture says about creation? I've written an article for the Fall Issues, Etc. journal titled More Questions for Old Earth Creationists. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues, Etc. journal. Just look for the red subscription button on the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor David Ramirez details his journey from liberal Lutheranism to confessional Lutheranism. The online Issues, Etc. journal.